position or has a question or a concern about the application, they will also be allowed to come forward and be heard. If you plan to speak at this public hearing, when the correct time comes for you to do that, and you're recognized, you'll need to come down front and speak from the podium. The first thing you should say is your name and your address before you make your statement. That will allow us to later determine who made each statement if there is an appeal from any decision that occurs at this meeting. Does anyone have any questions? It will not be a trial in the sense that neither the applicant or any opposition will be allowed to question or cross-examine each other. We'll hear from each side separately. Yes, sir.
Is it possible to turn the sound up a little bit?
Could you hear me, sir?
Just about.
Okay.
I guess.
The people who will speak from the speaker stand. There are two microphones there, and if someone is having trouble hearing, we'll ask you to move down front. If you still have trouble hearing, we'll ask the speakers to speak louder and turn up the volume. First application, Mr. Lank.
There's two applications that are listed in the same name. They are the same site, and it has been requested by the applicant, Rodney W. Smith, that the two public hearings for changes on 1649 and conditional use 1781 be heard as one public hearing presentation.
Were they heard as one before the commission?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Council have a problem with consolidating those two?
Yep. I think if we consolidate, okay, that'd be fine.
What we normally do, we introduce both when they'll be heard together as far as presentation. When the decision comes down, the decision will be separate for each application.
Conditions will be changed, right, on both ones?
Well, one's a change of zone. There would be no conditions. The other would be a conditional use with conditions. First application of the two is change of zone number 1649, the application of Rodney W. Smith to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, for land lying southwest of Zor Road, also known as Road 48, 1,000 feet south of Sussex Pines Road, also known as Road 324, and to be located on 39.73 acres, more or less. The second application of the combined public hearing is the application conditional use number 1781, the application of Rodney W. Smith to consider the conditional use of land in a CR1 commercial residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 39.73 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Zor Road, also known as Road 48, 1,000 feet south of Sussex Pine Road, also known as Road 324. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this applications on August 14th of 2008. The commission was provided with an exhibit booklet. There's a three-wing binder about an inch thick of information, and with which the council had the same, and they are part of the record. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division on both applications. We heard comments on both applications from the Sussex Conservation District. Preston Dyer, consultant to the applicant, was present with Mark Davison of DC Group and gave testimony. Eric James, a property owner across the road from the site, gave testimony in support of the application. Glenda Scott, Chris Moore, Joanne Fetters, Greg Macklin, and Gail Lacates were present in opposition and expressed concerns in reference to traffic increases, the guarantee of the housing type, et cetera. There was a response to some of the comments from Mr. Davidson that there is no on-site wastewater treatment proposed and that the town of Georgetown will provide central water and sewer. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the applications, and in reference to change of zone 1649, there was a motion, a second, and it was carried unanimously to defer action. in reference to conditional use number 1781. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action on that application also. That is the part of the record of the minutes of the commission's action for that evening. I did receive some additional emails and letters since the commission's public hearing. I have one from Truman Mason in support for both applications. States he is a native Sussex County and a business owner. He employs local workers and uses local suppliers and distributors for his construction firm. The majority of his work now comes from partnering programs administered by the USDA. The jobs are related to improving the environmental impacts on local poultry industry. He still anticipates continued growth. The proposed project can provide me and my staff with a central office location, storage options, and close proximity to several transportation links and arteries. Site is close to the governmental offices and agencies that my business interacts with. As a parent of a young adult, I see a decided benefit to moderately priced housing in the Georgetown area. The housing element can be a blessing for many young families. Please act favorably on these pending applications. I received an email from Thomas Pemberton in support of both applications, expressing that he knows the area, is aware of the need for more commercial opportunities, and in particular, more affordable housing. Received the facts from Leah Chandler, voicing her support of both applications. She states she is married with two children, employed by the state of Delaware in downtown Georgetown. My morning and afternoon commutes to work take me by the project site on a daily basis. I prefer to travel on Zor Road to dodge the more heavily used U.S. Route 113. She believes the commercial aspects of this application will serve a great need for people who use Zor Road to and from work, their residences, and recreational activities. As a recent first-time homeowner, she knows very well the difficulty of purchasing an affordable home in the county. It took much budgeting and support from family to make her dream come true. She emphasized that those seeking the American dream of home ownership who perhaps will not find a housing option in their price range. The housing aspect of this project, coupled with a mixed use and live work arrangement or live work arrangements, will be a blessing to many young families and supports the application. This project is, I believe, the first public hearing series that we will have under this year on the MPHU project. This project has been through the MPHU, through Bill Lacates' office, the community development office, and they support the application. That's all I have, gentlemen. Chef,
any questions of Mr. Lang, gentlemen?
No, Jim, you can move forward.
Okay. Mr. Dyer, are you the spokesperson for the applicant?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Mr. President, members of council. My name is Preston Lynch Dyer. I'm a consultant to the applicant.
Mr. Dyer, we had a gentleman say that he was having trouble hearing earlier. Could you pull the mics up a little further? And the whole thing will tilt upward a little bit, too. Oh, okay.
I think it's all right.
All right. Up on the edge.
Are both of them open? Both of them on? Right.
Put one on the edge.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're looking pretty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're going to hear me across the street.
Speak through one of their cross.
Through one?
Speak through one.
Okay. The owner and developer of the project is Rodney Smith. He is a licensed realtor and is also a member of the Planning Commission. He recused himself from participation at the Planning Commission level. As Mr. Lank has indicated, before you this evening are change of zone from AR1 to CR1, approximately 40 acres of ground. The conditional use is an overlay for the commercial application with the implementation of a multifamily project encompassing 36 condo flats and 88 townhouses in fee simple ownership. As you are aware, the conditional use is appropriate for multifamily residential uses where the purposes of the chapter are more fully met. And in this case, with the underlying change of zone to CR1, we believe that the implementation of the affordable housing unit is a very favorable addition to this application. It's pretty interesting from the historical perspective. This particular parcel is a residual piece from the original Smith Farm that was located on both sides of Zor Road. A portion of the east side lands extended further east to and beyond Sussex Pine Roads to the Eli Walls tax ditch. The lands were subsequently divided using Zor Road as the line of demarcation and then bequeathed to the son and daughter of Fanny Powell upon her death in 1929. The lands comprising the application remained intact until December of 2000, at which time they were divided into three parcels, totaling 5 acres. The three parcels were conveyed via contract of sale and donation to the Church of God of Prophecy in their entirety. The applicant also cooperated with the state of Delaware in two separate land transactions to provide additional land for the expansion of the motor vehicle inspection lane facility. And the residual piece that you have before you, again, comprising approximately 40 acres, would be the residue of that particular subdivision. The property is located in level one, according to the state strategies for spending map. And again, as you are aware, in level one, the densities are generally higher. And the population center in which they're located has been built around the traditional central business district. Mr. Davidson is with me this evening. He is the engineer for the project with Design Consultants Group, and he will later explain to you the adjoining properties as well as the neighboring community. The property is located within an area that provides a wide range of employment, shopping, and recreational facilities, and the state investments and policies should encourage a wide range of uses and densities. Again, we will provide additional information as to how those policies have been incorporated into this project. Powell Place will support a mixed-use project with office, specialty retail, mini storage space, as well as residential units. It will provide a mix of employment, shopping, and housing types.
So they comply with that.
The property is located within the developing area of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. It does have mixed uses that are compatible with those targeted within your comprehensive plan. The project is located within the Georgetown annexation area, and the town has not objected to the project being developed within Sussex County's requirements. The town has agreed to provide water and sewer to the project as well. And as Mr. Lank has indicated, a unique aspect of this application is the affordable housing component. The project has been submitted and approved by Sussex County for MPHU, and I believe that approval is in your booklet. And just really for the audience's edification, we presented an outline of MPHU. The program, MPHU program, is not a low-income housing program. It is not subsidized housing. It is not rental housing, nor is it a program that utilizes taxpayer funding of any kind. The program is for moderately priced housing options, with first-time home buyers as being one of the primary targets. It also targets young professionals that perform vital jobs in the community with entry-level and or modest salaries. The program has an eligibility requirement of people who live and work in Sussex County. They must be primary occupant, and it must be the primary residence of the owner. The program, with a voluntary participation by the builder, will have a minimum of 15% of the homes, and Mr. Davidson will describe this with some degree of specificity. And the program will have a sliding scale of income such that the thresholds will be met, again, to accommodate the program. The program requires that the community to be cited in the state levels 1 to 3. This is, of course, in a level 1. And the program includes long-term affordability efforts in its checklist. In fact, I believe that part of the submission for this project is being used as an additional guideline for future applications. As I indicated before, the property has been in the applicant's family for over 200 years. And during that time, many changes have occurred in the agricultural area. There's a letter in the booklet from Mark Workman that indicates he is the farmer that tills the property, indicates the difficulty with which the farming operations occur, given the fact that there have been additional properties developed, and it makes it very difficult for him to maneuver the farming implements along that road. The institutional uses, as you're aware, Mr. Davidson will give an extensive detailed examination of those uses, but the prison and Del Dot basically surround the property. Again, the property has been incorporated into many different aspects of engineering expertise, best management practices, and the neighboring properties will at this time be presented by Mr. Davidson, and I will provide a conclusion after his submission.
Good evening. Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. Powell Place, having approximately 39.43 acres of land, is located along the west side of Zor Road, just south of the town of Georgetown. The property lies approximately 160 feet south of Sussex Pines Road and 2,500 feet north of Woods Branch Road. The property is bordered on the north by the Delaware Department of Transportation, as well as a residential piece of property that is located along Zor Road. It's on the west and south by the Sussex Correctional Institute. And located within the vicinity on the east here is, of course, is Zor Road and the Church of God of Prophecy. In the vicinity of this piece of property, and located in your booklet, in the beginning, there's I have a map that I submitted for the record showing other commercial and governmental properties and uses. Some of the governmental uses, again, is the on the south and the west side of this piece of property is the Sussex Correctional Institute. The Delaware Department of Motor Vehicles, as well as the Delaware Department of Transportation, is on the north side of this piece of property. There is the state of Delaware. In the vicinity of this property, there's the State of Delaware Health Center, as well as the Delaware State Troop 4. And the Sussex Conservation District is located in the vicinity of this piece of property. Schools in the area, approximately 300 feet north is the Sussex Academy of Arts and Science. Within the town of Georgetown, approximately a mile and a half from this piece of property, is the Georgetown Elementary and Middle Schools. And approximately 2 miles south along Zor Road is the Sussex Central High School. Other commercial type uses that are in the area are directly across the street. We have the Eric James Electric. Again, the Church of God of Prophecy is located adjacent to this piece of property. North of this property is Robert Septic Service. Ready Call Communications is in this area. Markers Deli is located at the intersection of Bedford and Zor Road. We have a Georgetown Service Center located north of this property. South of this property, of course, is the Georgetown Speedway. There's Kruger Trailers that is located out along 113, just south of this property. There's various, also south of this property, there's a beauty salon and an auto repair. Seven, As you can see, this area here is growing, and just more recently, the county had approved a 14-lot subdivision called Land Girls Best, which is just south of the property, but on the opposite side of the prison. And also, the county had approved an additional government building, a 5,600-square-foot maintenance building that will be located adjacent to the state police barracks.
But it ain't there yet. Just updated again. It's over. 55.
Located within the booklet that you have before are the site plans that we've submitted along with this application. Our site plan proposes a neighborhood with a unique layout. We have a neighborhood that is laid out in a network that is allowing for multiple routes to one location. With the exception of the entrance boulevard here, all the streets within this site are going to be narrow in size. The entrance boulevard has a traffic circle that serves as a traffic calming device, which is located in the center of the... This will help direct traffic to the residential areas as well as some of the commercial uses here.
Sorry about that.
All sidewalks...
Where are the deputies when we need them?
All sidewalks will be ADA compatible, and there is an 8-foot walkway that is being proposed along the north parking lot of the within this site plan that will be used by the Church of God of Prophecy for Sunday overflow parking. There are plantings of trees and other landscaping throughout the streets and the parking areas. The neighborhood has a boundary that is delineated by landscape buffers that is at least 30 feet in width around the entire south, west, and north property lines. The neighborhood is compact and with no walking distance is greater than a quarter of a mile. The neighborhood, again, this project is set up to have a variety of housing types. We are proposing 88 two- and three-bedroom townhouse units in a fee-simple setup that will predominate this site. There will be, out of those 88 units, and as part of the MPHU application for this site, 13 units has been approved for the moderately priced housing units. Within those 13 units will be spread out. On your site plan that has been submitted, SP4 delineates SP3, the site of the site plans, delineates where we propose to place these moderately high house units. There's 13 buildings proposed. There's 12 7-unit buildings and 1 4-unit building. And each building unit at this time will have one of the MPHU units dedicated to the building. This will help. This helps spreads out these units and doesn't... Mr. Smith didn't feel that putting all the units in one area will help better make for a better neighborhood here. As a part of this application, we are proposing also 36 condominium flats over the stores and offices that could offer 1, 2, and 3-bedroom choices for this project. The neighborhood has a public and commercial activity to meet the needs of the residents in close proximity. There's 9 buildings out front here that total approximately 66,300 square feet of commercial activity, either offices or retail. The buildings are set back from the Zor Road. There will be no parking within the front setbacks. There will be an extensive landscaping plan that will accommodate the site plan for this site. All parking for these commercial activities are within the site. There will be no parking visible to the to Zohr Road. So everything has been placed back from the existing roadway. With this, with our proposal here today, we are proposing in the rear along the prison property approximately 57,800 square feet of mini storage units. They're broken up into 2,400 square foot units. We've placed this along this back along here. It will be gated and it will be fenced and gated. We've placed this back here because of the at night with the lighting from the prison, just lights up this whole back corner of this piece of property. We felt that this was the better use for the for a mini storage other than residential. We've moved the residential to the northern side of the property. These units can be used, will be available for the residents of the townhouses and the flats for additional storage. They can also be used by the commercial activity that goes on. Again, they're broken up into individual 2,400 unit buildings. They can either be individual units within each 2,400, or somebody could come and rent the whole entire 2,400 square feet if they so choose.
And what kind of surface is it going to be around them? Is it because some of these mini storage areas can get, you know, not real attractive. Are you proposing any kind of like macadam or around the buildings and?
The one thing,
the landscaping, again, is there anything unique about?
Yeah, what we're doing, we're providing a landscaping buffer around this. We've also providing a forestation area on the east side of where we're putting these mini storage units. What we're proposing at this time is probably some type of a loose stone parking. There's not a lot of traffic, so we won't get a lot of compaction. What we're trying to go for here is to keep the impervious area down, although sometimes stone can be compacted, but mini storage areas, they don't generate a lot of traffic, so keeping it a stoned area and it'll help keep the compaction down and also make this site a little bit more impervious, or pervious, excuse me.
While you're talking about that and you're looking for your next talking point there, I was reading through the PLUS report, and it referenced the soils and how they were actually 60-70% of this site were, I can't remember the name of the soils, but they actually stated they were unsuitable for development. Could you, and then you had some response to it. Could you clarify that? Because it did seem like that was pretty strong wording from the state soils mapping people, I guess.
Well, I believe he was quoting a section out of the chapter of the Sussex County Code, and he only he paraphrased it. He didn't continue on with that portion of the code. And my response to that was stating that we are providing for a pretty extensive stormwater management system here. The soils are fair under, you know, for recharge. I mean, they're not great, but they're not wet. We've done some extensive soils work out here, and the seasonal high water tables in this area range around about 30 inches. So although the state is basing it off of just maps that are done digitally, they take, you know, we've done an extensive soils data reconnaissance out here, and through, there's some ditching out here also.
Okay.
As part of what I was going to talk about was we have a tax ditch along the north property line. We also have Gill's Branch that runs through the lower portion of our project here that helps drain this piece of property. So these things, I think, were absent, and they are absent within the soils maps that are shown here. So, again, we're going to show or we'll be able to engineer a system here that will be allow this site to be developed. Again, he was quoting a certain code out of the book, and he stopped and didn't.
But he did reference a certain type of soils that said these types of soils are unsuitable for development. That seemed pretty strong.
Again, they're, the type...
I don't know if that's in the, I mean, that's not even part of the code, that was just, I guess that when you analyze a certain type of soil, and there are certain soils are better for certain things, and it's...
Well, he mapped out, in here, he says it's Mullica and Hurlock type soils,
right.
which are predominantly not, they're not well-drained soils.
Right.
But again, our soil studies determined that these are, these soils are, the seasonal high water tables are within about 30 inches. Again, the ditches along here allow for a drawdown effect of the groundwater, so...
Okay.
Again, their data is taken from maps and aerial photos and
right.
a database, not actual field data that we have performed on site.
And that's in here. Your data is in here or somewhere else.
That's correct.
It's probably. I wouldn't.
Just to finish up about the neighborhood is within a quarter of a mile of two separate DART bus routes and stops. DART and local school districts will be contacted to discuss the practical aspects of a transit school bus shelter on the project road frontage. We will be proposing a bus shelter out front here that will be able to take advantage of the parking lot. The parents will park at the parking lot and wait for their children to either get on the bus or exit off the bus. So we will be proposing a bus stop. We will also be talking with DLDOT and with DART about providing a DART stop out front. Some of the construction concepts that will be come a part of Powell Place, the prefabricated townhomes will be designed with 6-inch exterior walls for greater energy efficiency. Energy Star rated appliance will be offered within these units. The towns will be designed to incorporate visual complexity. This can be done via roof and dormer, different types of roof and dormer forms, varying color selections, and realignment of front doors, porches, and stoops. Side entries may be possible on end units. Maximizing the backyard, pond, and landscape buffer views with French and sliding doors options will be considered. The orientation of these buildings will also maximize passive and active solar yield, which will be implemented when possible with our layout here. Mr. Smith is exploring solar and photo devices that will generate energy to power some, if not all, of the common area electric demands, such as street lights and fountains. This will help keep down the homeowners association fees as far as having to provide for paying for the street lights and any types of fountains that will need to be, that will be placed in the stormwater ponds here. Sidewalks and bicycle racks will encourage non-motorized transit within the neighborhood. Non-tidal wetlands on this site are strictly within the tax ditches that are along the north of this property line. We are providing for a 25-foot tax ditch maintenance easement along a portion of the north property line. Within the park at Powell Place, we are proposing a 50-foot, or there is an existing 50-foot tax ditch maintenance easement that is on this property at this time. Within this property, we have the open space is approximately 49%, about 19.3 acres of open space. It consists of what we have is the park at Powell Place, which is on the north side of the Church of God of Prophecy and is adjacent to the residential property that is located along Zora Road. We put the park there in order to buffer this project from the existing residential property on this that borders this piece of property. We have a community area which is located just south of the townhouse units that is approximately 2.3 acres. The park at Powell Place is approximately 3.2 acres in size. The stormwater air ponds for this site are about 2 acres. And we are proposing a forestation area along the south of the property that's about 1.2 acres. This property is outside the 500-year floodplain. This property, as was just mentioned by Mr. Cole, that we did go through the plus process on this piece of property. Just to highlight some of the things that were talked about at the plus. The Office of State Planning and Coordination stated that this office has no objection to the proposed zoning change. Delaware Department of Transportation, the proposed plan is a significant improvement over the one presented in January. DelDOT particularly appreciates the addition of rain gardens and increased landscaping of the parking areas. This project went through PLUS twice. The first application that we submitted to the State Planning and Coordination was for commercial for the entire site. We were looking at doing a mixture of the same type of live work, but just out front here, we were looking at doing retail and offices out front, as well as the mini storages. But we were looking at doing bigger warehouse type units within the property. And then came back and decided that Mr. Smith decided that he would like to provide an affordable housing element and a mixed-use project for the property. So we went back before PLUS, and that's the PLUS comments that are in the booklets refer to this application. As a part of the process of getting through DelDOT and presenting our application tonight, we had to do a traffic impact study. The impact study was done by Davis, Bowen, and Friedel and was approved by DelDOT. Some of the improvements that were recommended by DelDOT as a part of this project, the developer should improve Zora Road from Sussex Pines to the southern edge of the site frontage. So up here, approximately 200 feet north of this property is Sussex Pines Road. This project will have to improve this road out front of Zora Road to the local road standards, widening of the travel ways, providing shoulders, and making sure that the drainage is in place. Of course, as part of the application with DelDOT, we will be designing and building an entrance plan that meets DelDOT specifications. A bypass lane was recommended for the entrance. Mr. Smith will have to enter into an agreement with DelDOT and or Sussex County to fund an equitable portion of improvements to the intersections of South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road as a part of the Park Avenue realignment project. Mr. Smith will enter into a traffic signal agreement with DelDOT for the intersections of South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road for the realignment Park Avenue project. You will also have to enter into a traffic signal agreement for Arrow Safety Road and 113, which is directly across from the First State Chevy Olds entrance. Some improvements that this Mr. Smith will have to participate in will be he will have to enter an agreement with DelDOT to install one or more raised concrete islands at the intersection of 113 and Wood Branch Road and Kruger Road. This is the road that runs along the speedway. And he will also have to enter into agreement to for a concrete islands at the intersection of 113, the Speedway Road, and Alm House Road. Some of the bicycle and pedestrian facilities that he will have to do is we're dedicating a 15-foot multimodal easement along the front where he'll have to build a 10-foot-wide multimodal path along the front of the property. He will also have to build a 5-foot bike lane that will incorporate that will incorporate into the shoulder of the road.
Further, Mr. Davidson?
Yes. Further on in the PLUS comments, under the Sediment and Erosion Control Stormwater Management Program, Danarac states that they appreciate the series of ponds proposed for the advanced treatment and protection of the wellhead areas within the site. If I may, pass out. What I passed out before you is just an exhibit showing the two adjacent wells that belong to the town of Georgetown that are adjacent to this project. Got a board here. The aerial's not turned on this board here, but within the aerial that I passed out, you'll see where the white building there next to the closest well to our site here is the Georgetown's water plant. We've recognized the fact that the county and the town of Georgetown has adopted a wellhead protection ordinance. What this illustrates is that we have endeavored to protect the closest well to our property. The Georgetown requirements within the safe zone of their well says that you have to be 150 feet away from any development that goes on within the site. Of any impervious surface. The county's ordinance is 100 feet. So if by showing you this, I'm showing you where the existing well is located, we are actually, I'm showing the 150 foot radius away from this well. And as you will see, the radius is within the landscape portion of our site where we're going to be providing an extensive landscaping for the property, buffering this site. We've also provided for a forestation area, which is going to be between the parking lot for the live work area and the mini storage area. There's going to be a forestation area to help further with the recharge of groundwater and to protect against the well. What the state was talking about, the series of ponds for the stormwater system, our stormwater concept for the site will be to we're proposing wet ponds, and again, we're proposing the wet ponds, and as Mr. Cole stated, because of the soils out there with the seasonal high water tables up at around 30 inches, we feel that having these wet ponds will add for an attractive landscaping feature for the residents, but also help clean up the water. This site drains from the south to the north. There's Gill's Branch that runs through the property here. That goes to these tax ditches here. The tax ditches then run from the west to the east, draining the site. So we're going to work with the contours that we have out there and providing these ponds in series. These ponds will all connect to each other, and the ultimate discharge will be to the tax ditch system along the north of the property.
Now, the branch is a natural stream, right? Originally it was a stream.
Yes.
Meanders through.
It meanders right through here.
Where is it? Is it on? I mean, do we see it, or does it disappear? I mean, is it on the other site? Is it under a culvert, or I mean, is it underground, or what happens to it?
Over here, it continues on through the state.
Right, but on your site, on your where it says power
place. It starts approximately right here in this location.
Right.
And it works its way through.
And you'll still be able to see it once it's
developed. That's correct, yes.
Like, because I don't see it on your green, where you got the green highlight. Is it on there?
Yeah, we show a line going through here, yes.
Okay.
But it's on the site plans. We're not going to disturb it. The ditch is approximately, the branch is actually only anywhere from 6 to maybe 12 inches deep. It's not a real defined feature, but it is labeled as Gill's Branch, and we will be protecting it. So,
that's in trouble.
Again, water for this site, there's an existing 10-inch water line that runs across the front of our property along Zora Road that belongs to the town of Georgetown. The existing house located on the site right now currently is served by existing town water. Wastewater. Right now, we're working with the town of Georgetown and providing a feasibility study for the sewer for this project. We will be looking at extending their sewer services along Zora Road to provide sewer for this property. Lastly, the last thing in the under the plus comments under the Delaware State Housing Authority, DSHA encourages residential development in areas where residents will have proximity to services, markets, and employment opportunities such as investment levels 1 and 2, areas outlined in state strategies maps. Furthermore, DSHA encourages residential development in level 1 and 2 areas that are affordable to first-time home buyers. DHA supports the fact that this proposal targets first-time home buyers.
Bill?
As Mr. Davidson has demonstrated, we believe there's no adverse effect on the neighboring properties or the community. If you look in your booklet, there are over 12 letters in support of the project from people who are either neighboring or people who would be considering moving here for residential purposes or even utilization of the project for commercial use. We do have a letter from the Delaware State Housing Authority that was just received, and I believe it was sent to Mr. Lank, but he probably hadn't received it yet. We got a fax version of it. Basically, in essence, says we support the proposed development as a number of features that we believe should be strongly encouraged by all developers. Features include multi-use development, compact housing, parks and open space, access to public transit, participation in Sussex County MPHU, and the visual interest in the site design. I think that demonstrates the fact that this is a superior design project. We do have the incorporation of all of the aspects of superior design, open space, best management practices, and we have redesigned the project to incorporate several of the plus comments. Based upon the findings, I have a proposed finding of fact that was also submitted at the planning and zoning, which I'd like to submit to the record.
Thank you. Be made part of the record.
And in conclusion, we believe that based upon all of the aspects of the project that have been presented to you, we would ask that you would act favorably both upon the change of zone and additionally upon the conditional use for the housing. Thank you.
Conclude your presentation?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Dyer?
Over.
Yeah, but there's no questions, it appears.
I think that's it.
I think we've had enough time. Yeah, okay, let's move.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak either in support of or in opposition to this application? I can't see the whole audience, but let me ask again. Is there anyone here who would like to speak either in support of or in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. Planning and zoning deferred.
Make a motion, we defer.
Second.
It's been moved to second that we defer on CZ 1649 and conditional use 1781. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Motion passed. Mr. Lang?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No problem.
The
The next application is conditional use number 1742, the application of Pine Acres Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an expansion of an existing manufactured home park campground by adding 24 campsites to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4 acres, more or less, lying south of Dogwood Lane, the access road into Leisure Point Resort, 2,900 feet north of Long Neck Road. For the benefit of the council, I'm passing down copies of the survey site plan for this application. Again, the commission in the public hearing process held public hearing on this application on August 14th of 2008. During the public hearing, we heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District. George Harrison was present on behalf of Pine Acres Incorporated and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. There were 6 parties present that spoke in opposition to the application, expressing concerns in reference to the short time of the posting of the site, drainage concerns, aesthetics and fencing, the type of fencing proposed, increased traffic, foot traffic and trespassing on an existing service road of other landowners, children's safety, more RV traffic to and from the site, and that some of the RV owners have removed and replaced a mailbox belonging to one of the neighbors so that they could make the turn to and from the campsites. Mr. Harrison responded that he would install landscaping. He did reference Leland Cypress and solid white vinyl fencing with lattice across the top around the perimeter or the side and rear of the sites. And it would be similar to the fencing at the Leisure Point Welcome Center. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. And I've received no additional comments from any agency or individual to date since the 14th of August. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Any questions of Mr. Lang? Mr. Harrison?
Good evening. My name is George Harrison, Jr., president of Pine Acres Incorporated, trading as Leisure Point.
Mr. Harrison, if you don't mind, could you try to keep your voice up a little bit so that everybody can hear?
Put a mic right in your mouth. Put it up on the there you go.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. The reason for the change of zoning, as far as where I'm coming from, is the fact that we're looking at the RV industry, which is kind of under a little bit of a state of flux, obviously, because of the energy situation. Nevertheless, we have over 300 campsites currently at Leisure Point and a couple hundred sites for manufactured housing. We have, for as long as I can remember, been 100% full in our seasonal camping area. Currently, as of today, we have in excess of 30-some people waiting for a site. Obviously, that goes up and down depending upon the cost of gasoline. Our primary reason or primary function for this particular piece of property, these additional sites, would be, my intent at this time, is for seasonal. And when I say seasonal, for the summer months. We're not talking about a transit operation where you would have motorhomes and the like going in and out of the property for a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time, things of that nature.
Bless you. Thank you.
I'm sorry?
I'm blessing him.
Oh, okay.
I'll bless you later.
I thought you were blessing me.
No, I was saying they're going to bless you there. I was thinking about it.
So that is our intent with the property. As Mr. Lang stated, we intend to use Leland Cypress as far as screening. There were some concerns at the planning and zoning for screening and fencing and this type of thing. As far as water, it would be central water served by Long Neck. The water company on Long Neck, Long Neck Water Company. And, of course, the sanitary sewer would be Sussex County. I would be more than happy to try to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, these are not going to be manufactured homes permanently placed there. They're going to be an
an RV unit.
It would be a recreational vehicle.
Recreational vehicle. Park models, which...
More than likely, yes.
Okay.
A lot of them would be.
Because they can't be easily pulled off site and taken down the road.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Thank you, Mr. Harrison.
You're welcome, sir.
Is there anybody here who would like to speak either in support of or in opposition to this application tonight? Yes, sir? Remember, when you come to the speaker stand, give us your name and your address first.
I'm Anthony DiGiuliano. I live on 32909 Long Neck Road. I border the properties. Matter of fact, my relatives own the properties all around the property. I live right behind it. There's obviously congestion now on the road that's there and the road that he wants access into. All right. And then plus we have the fire hazard. The woods are right next to it, which border my house. Just a lot of things. We have people riding through the yard at nighttime because they get misguided and they come down the dirt road. It's in the back of the property now. So, you know, I've got children running around. And I'd like to see this not go through at this point.
What, you have how many acres?
4 acres, sir.
And it shows your family are, like you said, are all around it?
Yes,
pretty
sir.
Much? And are the... adjoining sites, what, one single family home on 4 acres, or?
Yes.
I mean, right, basically,
yes.
Large lots with,
yes,
single,
sir,
family homes? Okay.
So, yeah, I have to, like, this is the survey we have, so your family owns all the way around this entire piece of property?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. Okay.
Is there anything else similar to this on your road?
Is there anything else similar to this? Not really. Not on the road that's behind my house, no.
What's that? Is that Dogwood Lane? Is that...
The map that you got is just of the site that he's proposing right now. It doesn't show the general vicinity of the placement of all the other land around there.
Right, Dogwood Lane looks like everybody had 4-acre parcels.
Yes.
Is this one a 4-acre parcel, approximately?
Yes, sir.
Also, right. Okay, all right, I see that.
There's obviously traffic from it, you know, from the parks right now, both parks. It's, like I said, it's somewhat of, right now, what I consider a hazard. And then we don't have no consideration of where the runoff from these campers that are going to be sitting there are stored there. You know, obviously, we own the fields and the other stuff around them, and there's nothing there. There's a 50-foot barrier, but there's nothing in consideration for the runoff. Said there's going to be a fence bordering two sides. I've not seen nothing in writing as far as fencing and anything laid out, basically. Personally, I think that we deserve that. We're bordering him.
Now, it shows a number of 4-acre sites and maybe 1 3-acre, but none of them have been subdivided, it
no.
appears. They all look like they still have the large acre. This would, is one of your fears that this would set a precedent for maybe some of the other?
Well, it's that. I mean, if that's what you gentlemen want to turn it into, I mean, turn it into a mobile home park, that's fine, and you may as well just turn it into that, all of it, if that's what you want to do. But that's not being very fair to us right at this present moment. I mean, we've got enough traffic from it now. We've been pretty good neighbors up to this point. I don't think he can even say that we've ever even came to a meeting to oppose it. A lot of things, they come on, they go on. But this is one thing that's starting to get a little close.
Okay.
And then we do have concerns about, you know, our safety and stuff like that.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Someone else had their hand up back there?
Lady.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Bonnie DiGirolamo, and I live at 30045 Rady K Lane. What he was talking about, the property, I don't know if you need a copy. This is my copy, but this is where I'm at. This is 10 acres here, if you can see it. And this is his property right here that he's talking about putting these 24 RVs on. The concern is the safety. If you've seen the Shorts Marine, when they had that Long Neck Road, you can't even get out of Long Neck Road. I think that is really, that's an issue. I think it took me 15 minutes or maybe 20 just to go from my driveway, from my property here, just to go down to Banks Road. Now, if we had a problem, we would really have a disaster for bringing in these RVs or whatever else. You know, I don't...
Pass those out?
She only
has one.
I have one. Okay, that's right. Yeah, that's only the one I have. I think the proposal that he gave us was, this is what he wrote you. It says an expansion. And that's my... I mean, if he was doing an expansion in the back of his trailer park, I mean, that's fine. I understand he bought the property. He wants to do what he wants. You know, that's fine. But it's just concerning me that we're going to have that, the traffic, the just the issue of more people there that are just not going to, they're not going to be there. Can I ask that question? Are they going to be there all the time? Or are they going to leave these homes? Just leave them there. I mean, we already have the four-acre lot here. We have, it's part of our family, and people are breaking in there now. It's just crazy to go ahead and leave more RVs there, and I don't know. I don't know if we would really want that, if that's what Long Neck Village wants. I talked to the president of the community, and he was supposed to be here tonight. And the whole community was definitely not for this.
Do we have anything on record, Mr. White, on that? Any letters or anything?
He did not email you. Okay. I'm sure if he could, he probably could email that to you. I don't know, or send you a fax or whatever you might need.
We may end up closing the record tonight, and then we're theoretically not supposed to, you know, receive it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Unless we leave the record open, and if you, you know,
okay,
press upon us.
P&Z deferred on this.
Right, but we could leave the record open, yes.
Another concern was the, would it devalue the property? I mean, are we?
We'd change the nature of your side of that road, obviously.
Right.
Sure. Is that what we want? I mean, I don't know.
We're asking you. Tell us.
That's why we're here. That's why we
are. You don't want it, right?
That's why we are here, and we're asking, you know, that you take these considerations. So, I just
okay.
Hopefully, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wanted to be heard? Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I'm Alan Shelley. I live in Long Neck Village. My address is 26033 Lighthouse Lane, Millsboro. I am the president of Long Neck Village Homeowners Association.
You're the gentleman she's talking about?
Yeah, we never met.
Oh, okay.
Just talked on the phone. Yeah, I'm the gentleman. I'm basically here on behalf of the community, representing the community. They all have concerns. Concerns, number one, density. Probably, although the heaviest concern I've heard from some of the residents there has been the aesthetic value and what would that do to their real estate values. We are not a land lease community. We own the properties in Long Neck Village. So we have, as you know, Bonnie would, a lot to lose if it does affect the real property value in the area, by expanding that to where it's actually visible. Currently, and I know Mr. Harrison runs a pretty tight ship there, currently it is not, his community is not visible from our development. It's in a wood setting, which is a very nice setting. Here it would be setting right out in the field. The other thing they're concerned about is they were saying, well, what would stop it from going to the cornfield? Right now there's a cornfield. There's a road that we both share, that Leisure Point and ourselves share, that comes from Long Neck Road back. And that's a cornfield and sometimes soybean field. Naturally, we don't get any noise from that, except when they're harvesting. That was another concern.
Excuse me, sir. Is that first 50-foot easement that runs along your property? Is that?
Yeah, it runs right, sort of separates our property, and I'm not sure who owns the property currently on the other side.
Okay. Thank you.
That's basically their biggest concerns. They just don't.
Let me ask you this. When people tell us that their concerns are current, you really haven't said you're for or against it. We're trying to gauge.
Oh, we're against the expansion.
Okay, definitely. Because the word concerns doesn't really.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay. And that's pretty much it. That was pretty much everything in a nutshell with what I've gathered from, as far as my feelings and from.
Okay. And there's how many residents. People in Long Neck Village Condo Association do you feel that your community
the
is?
The total of residents there? It's mainly retired people. I'd say we're probably 80% retired. There's around 90, 95 houses in our community. Yeah. Most of them are full time. We do have some people that have summer homes there.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Come on down.
Evening. My name is Susan Moore. I reside at 32887 Long Neck Road. My husband and I, we own the property which runs next to the proposed Pine Acres property area. It's for.
Are you the long that runs along the easement?
We reside on 4 acres, not. Non-wooded, and then we own the 4 acres wooded right behind us. Okay. The 4 acres wooded is the property that runs alongside of the Pine Acres property.
Okay.
We're opposed to the proposal due primarily to, as others have stated, the aesthetic value. Even with a fence around their area, there could still be privacy issues, possible trespassing issues, as well as possible fire hazards. There's already been fires in the woods around our areas. And that's about it. But, you know, it's surrounded by family farm area, has been for years. And we're just, the family's just totally opposed to it right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Let the record show no one else has to be recognized. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I don't think there's any need to leave the record open. I think we heard everybody that lived in the neighborhood.
Right.
Make a motion, we defer.
Okay.
Second. You closing the record?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. To move to second, that we defer and close the record on conditional use 1742. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.